Thank you, Chairman. The following professionals have asked the question that I will now submit to the top management, which is leading the event that we have now. Alberto Gandolfi, Goldman Sachs, Peter Bisztyga, Bank of America, Rob Pulleyn, Morgan Stanley, Manuel Palomo, Exane BNP Paribas, José Javier Ruiz, Barclays, Fernando García, Royal Bank of Canada, Jorge Alonso, Société Générale, Mark Freshney, Credit Suisse, Javier Suárez, Mediobanca, Daniel Rodríguez, Bestinver, Jorge Guimarães, JB Capital, and finally, Gonzalo Sánchez-Bordona, UBS. First question is related to the full year 2023 guidance. What are the main drivers of your guidance for the 2023? Are capital gains one-off expected in the year?
The main factors are, as I mentioned, in renewables. We expect 3,000 MW of additional renewable, which around 500 of those will be offshore wind. We expect, as I mentioned as well, higher production in hydro. It's already higher production in hydro to the higher reserves and the normalization of those factors in the first quarter. Networks, new rate cases in Brazil and United States and U.K., which I think will increase our regulated asset base. We are already expecting to... We are recovering already the retail deficit accumulated U.K. after the new regulatory measures, and as well as certain adjustment in the price cap from April 2023. I think something like 200 million has been recovered from 300 or something else we have already in deficit from accumulated. Optimization financial profile due as well diversification of financial instrument, I think mostly green, and this asset rotation and partnership. I think we have already the negative impact of revenue tax contribution, this 1.2 sale, which is something like 200 million. An increase as well of financial cost due to higher rate of interest, as Pepe has already mentioned. PNM acquisition that we are confident that will be done already in the next few months. We are not expecting significant contribution in 2023 in any case. I think that's why I think our expectation this year is to have already a high single digit if considered as revenue or 8%-10% without considering that one.
Second question is, can you please talk about the other item in the FFO figure, which have shown a circa 300 basis points improvement in the ratio? What are these other items?
Well, this has basically to do with the collection of the hydro tax. Last year, we took it out of the FFO because we had not collected it. This year, we have put it in because we have collected it, and that is the difference. Just one thing to complement what Chairman has said, in the results, we are not expecting a big or almost any contribution from capital gains from the asset rotation.
Third question is related to the full year 2023 guidance. Is this guidance based on an average hydro year? Could you provide sensitivity in the results if hydro is above average in the year?
Yeah, Armando, can you reply that one?
Yes. We expect normalization to average levels. I think this is after the drought last year and the rains during the last months. Today's Spanish reserves, I think shows a level of reserves between 60% and 70%, so much higher than last year. Only a data hydro production in January and February in 2023 in Spain is more than doubling the last year figures.
Next question. Can you clarify that the 2023 net income includes the euro 200 million 1.2 tax revenue? Did you already include an assumption of the tax impact in your latest business plan? Third, can you... Sorry, Chairman, the third question is, could you update us on the latest legal action against this measure? Three question.
On the... I would like to confirm, I mentioned, but I would like to confirm that in our projection, we are expecting around 200 million euros tax to be paid during 2023, and that is in our expectation this year. That is considered in our 2023 guidance. And I think in terms of the legal things, Gerardo, can you reply on this? What action are you taking in this moment?
Thank you, Chairman. We have already challenged this measure based on its arbitrary and discriminatory, due to its only affects to some sectors, and even in these sectors affected, and these sectors are not in a comparable situation, and also the measure is impacting on revenues, not on extraordinary profits. I think that is important to mention. We consider that this contribution incurs in a breach of Spanish constitution and European law, as the chairman has said before, and we don't expect this year a decision of the court. We will wait to the next year, probably.
Well, as you have already, I would like to insist on that one. I think we start talking about windfall profits, and we are going, and the government was saying that they're going to charge on the windfall profit. I think we have windfall losses. We have 90% less profit than previous year. So because we have not extra profit, they charge already this in revenues, which I think what is the means in revenues. So, and that's why I think that is what the legal department is already taking all the action in the, for defending the interests of the shareholders, as always we did.
Next question is related to the European IRA. What is our view on this European regulation? Question number
so,
five.
I think measures, I would like to say, is moving in the right direction. I think, you know, I'm already a European fan, so I think whatever thing is doing in Europe is always and very supportive, because they are very professional. They try to do the things in a proper manner. So I think that, in my opinion, this measure is going in the right direction. So the fact, the European Union has already, before the IRA, has already allocated 40% of the Next Generation EU was already allocated for energy transition. So which I think 40% of 700 billion is 280 billion. The Americans is already euros. The American are allocating $320 billion. So which I think is more or less the same amount than within 1 year in advance, European Union has already allocated for energy transition. So I think the point is not the funds. The point is how to accelerate the execution. And that is precisely what European Union is proposing, measures to accelerate the execution of those funds to make this energy transition. Measures for already reducing the period of permitting, measures to clarify the situation of the production of green hydrogen, measures for already promoting renewable in different countries, measures to promote interconnection, measures to promote already more European energy market, measures to unify more the rules, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why I think is in my opinion, is moving in the right direction, and sure in the next few weeks and months, the thing will be even more making the same direction as has been made up to now.
Next is, could you please comment on the proposed European Union power market reform? What is the Iberdrola's position proposals?
So we agree on a reform. Always we are agree to reform those things to improve. I think we agreed in a reform to improve the market, but always recognizing that this market has already worked well. I think we have been, for 30 years, our light has been on. It has been on because we had already made the investment that the system required. We have already made the things in a direction which promote a better service in Europe toward another geographical areas. And that is precisely what is being said by the recent statement for many associations and member states, including Germany, Netherlands, Sweden, Finland, et cetera, et cetera. So, including the association of regulators. So the market has already worked well, but we need already to make something. The first thing I think I would like to insist is that we have to distinguish. Sometimes the people is already not clear ideas about that. It's two concepts. One is the market, another one is dispatching. One is trading energy, another one is dispatching power plants. I think market is a bilateral thing already made between buyers and sellers. And I think the case, for instance, in Spain, 80% of the electricity has been sold in advance to customers. So only 20% is already linked to the spot. But in the daily basis, the system has already only produced the most efficient technologies. And for that, it's already make in the daily basis offers of all technologies, all the power plant, to dispatch only those ones which are more efficient. So it could happen, last year it happened, that you have already sold your electricity. We did. We sold our electricity in advance. But last year, we had not been able to dispatch all our power plants because we have not enough hydroelectric reserves. So we've been forced to buy in the market, in the daily market, already this energy, which has already eroded our results, as you can already see. So that's why, important thing, dispatching is one thing and marketing is a different one. So when we talk about the spot market is a complementary thing to the bilateral agreements called BPAs or whatever kind of things, instrument which can already make this long term. So that's why, in my opinion, consumers must be offered more and more long-term contracting to protect from volatility, to improve competitive prices, and that is the key, is to promote BPAs. These BPAs can be supplemented with a secondary market to increase liquidity, which I think that is precisely one of the areas which I'm sure is needed some kind of improvement on that one. Actions, fine. I think voluntary actions. So whatever you would like to participate in this action is fine. CFDs, okay, fine. Voluntary CFDs. That will be a solution for some situation. But I think we have a lot of CFDs in Britain. They would like to promote offshore, and I think this offshore nobody is able to take, or there are few people which are able to take the 100% of the power generated by this very large power plant. So this auction is fine to promote these sort of technologies. But I think something with me is very clear. Electricity is electricity. Independently, if whatever is the technology or the date of construction of each plant. I think it's, we compare petrol is petrol, diesel is diesel, independently the origin of the refinery or independently the well which has been produced. So that's why dispatching, I insist on that one, is the merit order and should be based always in the most efficient available technologies. But marketing is a bilateral thing that you have to negotiate with your customer in the best term, as much as possible long term. So I think we are in a situation Europe require huge investment in it would like to decarbonize, and it would like to become already self-sufficient in energy. We cannot already take measures. We will not make attractive this investment, which is absolutely needed. Europe require hundreds of billions of euros investment, and I think whatever intervention, whatever measure, which is not already making the system attractive, will make that the money will move to another geographies when they're making it more attractive. That is precisely what is being said by the note who has been written by Germans, Dutch, Scandinavian, etc., etc., etc. And that is what is my position. So market is market, dispatching is dispatching. They are two different things, and I think that is, in my opinion, we have to be already promote a long-term contract and to promote more liquidity in these PPAs and long-term contracts to make already then the citizen can already benefit, as has been benefiting already, of the lower cost of those technologies we have lower cost.
Moving now to UK regulation, can you please confirm whether you will be accepting the RIIO-ED2 price control from the 2023 period due by 3rd of March 2023 and what the potential for it to be appealed by the consumer group might be? Question number seven.
Question number seven. So you talk about
the RIIO-ED2.
The RIIO, okay. So as I mentioned already, RIIO-T, the transmission, we have already the rate case up to 2026. We've been awarded with £2 billion, and probably that will be increase this amount because there are another project which have not been yet increased, which is another interconnection, the Easterling interconnection between Scotland and England, which probably will be already as well in the next few months already finally decide. In terms of RIIO-ED2, as I mentioned, the TOTEX is 400 billion at nominal prices, so equity remuneration is 4.75% post-tax, plus inflation, plus incentives, with a leverage of around 60%. And that is why we expect that with this investment, our regulated asset base will increase by 30% by the end of regulatory period. I think this one is up to 2028. That's correct. So, and I think it's, and those are the main numbers, I think.
Can you provide an update on where we are in the approval process for the PNM acquisition?
So, as I mentioned, the new regulatory commission, all members of the regulatory commission, has already been removed by December 30th. A new regulatory commission, the three members, has been appointed. So the Senate, New Mexico Senate, has already confirmed this one. Has been as well, in terms of the management of the regulatory commission, the head of the staff, the head of management, has been nominated a new person. And I think they are already in line to restudying again our deal. And we hope then that makes already a positive result in the coming months. So I think, but the first point is new people is appointed, I hope with different vision of the previous one.
Next question is, which are the key points under discussion on the US rate cases versus current ones that we improve the achieved ROEs? Number 9.
Which is the key points under?
The rate cases current under discussion and negotiation in the US.
I think you reply, Armando.
Okay, I think we are in very good progress. I have to say we started filings in the state of New York, Maine, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. We have already have a settlement reached in Massachusetts. So it's down for 2023-2025. So for the rest, we are negotiating. We are in very good progress, and we expect new rates effective along the year in New York for 3 years. Around May 23, April 26, and in Maine and Connecticut also the same 3 years, through August 23 to July 26 in Maine, and September 23, August 26 in Connecticut. So good progress.
Number 10, can you provide an update discussion for the realization of the New England Clean Energy Connect project, NECEC?
So Armando or Gerardo, whatever you like.
We still are very positive about the project. We have a lot of support from several stakeholders in the state. We have the trial scheduled for April 2023, and according to schedule, the decision will be on summer. So,
yes, I think that the court is going to the judge is going to have a decision. Very, very soon, and we have had in the last year a positive decision from the Supreme Court of Maine, so we think that the judge will follow this decision.
11 question, how have supply margins evolved in Spain over last months now that wholesale prices are down, generation cost is down, but final client selling price is benefiting from last year repricing?
So I think we had already seen an increase in last month to certain things. I think it's the market dynamic is already making that the customer has more appetite to close long-term contracts and fixed prices. So people don't like to live with the volatility they've been suffering. Those we were already in this linked to the volatility. We have already a significant energy already which we are selling for an offshore wind. So I think recently we signed in Germany all the production of an offshore wind farm, which is going to be completed by 2027. Then it is already sold for the next 15 years. So as I mentioned, we need already to make more incentive to PPA. For making already more long-term. It's funny because we have to highlight that Spain is the country with more PPAs in Europe. So which I think we made the Spanish exception. The Spanish exception is that those countries where we have more people already with long-term contracts. I think more than 21 gigawatt of renewable growing the country has already bilateral contracting with PPAs. So, but nevertheless, the trends for the future is certain. The CapEx is going to increase. So we are seeing increase in the CapEx of the of the most of the new investment. We are already the rate of interest is increasing as well. The inflation is affecting. So the regulatory uncertainty is not helping to reduce prices. So that's why we are seeing already higher cost in renewables in the future, and that is going to address higher prices. But that's why. But they can already provide the stability, predictability, without being dependent on the volatility of the fossil fuels that we've been seeing during 2022. So, but I think my, for me, the point is long-term PPAs, and to give already the customers to benefit of a stable, predictable prices along very many years to avoid already this one. That has been already happened in Spain, and unfortunately, because of the regulation and this Spanish exception, those customers have been benefiting on lower prices, which represent almost 80% of the energy, so has not has been penalized to benefit another 20% who has not already had this sort of thing. I hope that that ends soon, and I think that the rules of the market will continue on the basis, then we will avoid this volatility, especially for those which are the most vulnerable. And really, those vulnerables are those ones who are more hit, and I think we need already to give to them the predictability, stability, lower cost, which I think the renewables can already offer, and we are offering to another segment of the population as well.
Next question is regarding the UK liberalised market. What has prevented UK liberalised to perform better in 2022, and at what are the moving parts for the recovery mentioned in 2023?
Armando, do you reply?
Yes, I think the retail business last year has been very impacted by the price cap mechanism. As you know, the prices and the high prices and gas market through the year. So situation now is improving. We are recovering the past deficit. This is very important news, thanks to the new regulatory measurements introduced. Also, we have heard that the new price cap for April is also improving the mechanism. So we are very positive that the situation are going to stabilize, and we are going to improve the retail business this year because of this stabilization of the situation.
Next is, how is cost inflation evolving for supply chains, and how this is impacting leading hedge return in renewables?
Well, as I mentioned already, those one which is already signed is signed, and what is already made built is built. And those one which is committed, we have already closed the contracts. I think, as I mentioned, last year we make orders for almost 18 billion. But I think certain, I already reply, the trend is increases in the capex of technologies offshore, onshore, solar, because certain of the components of those one are more expensive. So, you know, steel is increased by almost from $300 a ton at, up to over $1,000 per ton. The inflation is affecting to the cost of the people which are already making the installation. The transport is more expensive, so all those one is conducting, then the CapEx will be is going to be higher in the future. So that's why I think, but if the CapEx is higher and the inflation is higher, the rate of interest is higher, our cost will be higher, and then is that is the main drivers of our cost, and that will be transferred to the prices. So certain, if the trend continues in this basis, the prices we can already offer with the new power plant will pass already this extra cost, this extra capex, which is increasing this this extra cost.
Next is number 1515. Do you expect a material increase in solar PV installation in Spain in the next 2-3 years due to the big amount of DIAs granted by the authorities recently? Which are your assumptions for the Spanish market in terms of total market renewable capacity addition in the coming years?
Armando, you reply that one.
I think in regards to the DIAs, the permits, we have to say that we are the company with more megawatts with permits during the process. We have been resolved with almost 5,000 megawatts of positive environmental profit. So we remain very confident to increase our installed capacity of 12 megawatts that we said in, the, in our plan in 2025. And we have a very strong quality and maturity pipeline that could be reached more than 10,000 megawatts.
Next is May I ask for an update on the U.S. offshore wind strategy in light of the cost inflation, negotiation of Park City, exit from Commonwealth Wind, and Iberdrola's role in the future of the U.S. offshore wind market, given likely returns?
Well, I think I insist on that one. I think traditionally, all the auctions in America, you're very aware, has been based in a very stable and predictable cost with no inflation, with a rate of interest almost at zero. So when unfortunately, the things has already changed, and in this moment, power plant, we have to be built by 27 or 28, what was the case of Commonwealth or this another one of Park City. So I think when we ask for order for offers to the vendors, they increase heavily the turbines. As I mentioned, the cost of the steel is booming. The vessel which are needed for installation increase as well. The labor cost for making all these works is increased, and I think that makes then with the PPA we agree at that time, the things has already changed so much that we cannot already keep the same rule than they were. So, and I think is that why we try to renegotiate the terms of those ones, and I think that is the process. If we reach an agreement, fine. If we don't reach an agreement, in that case, we will cancel those one, and we will go to new auctions. With that, sure, the new auction will reflect the new terms of this one. You have to contemplate then the difference toward another countries. In the United States, in Britain, for instance, when you make an auction, you have to have almost all the permits, and you have to be the consent, which is just ready to build. In the case of United States, is the only thing you need already is to have already a seabed, so access to area for building, but you have no permit and no design, nothing on that one. So that makes then the process in the moment you make the offer, up to the moment then the power plant is completed, can take 5, 6, 7 years. So in the case in another countries, takes much shorter. So I think that is the main thing on that one. Saying that, is not different than other countries. I think you see in Spain, in the last few years, has been awarded more than 6,000 megawatt of auctions, and only 1,500 has been built. So many people has been renouncing to this auction because I imagine the cost has already as well affected to their CapEx, and I think the price we have already agree is the price which they cannot already maintain in time.
Based on the analysis of the U.S. IRA, could you upgrade your investment in renewables in this country?
So I mentioned already, in renewables is much better visibility. I think we have much easier ways to monetize the ITCs and PTCs. And also one important thing, we have already potential repowering opportunities. Certain repowering opportunities, something which is going to help us to grow already rapidly. Another area as well is the incentives given to the green hydrogen. So I think it's very attractive. In this sense, we have already some project in this moment for hydrogen. We have an agreement with Sempra, one of the American utilities, to make already green hydrogen, to make with it green ammonia, and we are already in the designing phase. So and I think we expect already additional returns for the with this thing for the existing wind farms and certain for the future wind farm we can already build in the future. But I think it's a positive thing for expanding in many areas of that one.
Next is any color on Mexico? What can be expected on licenses, renewable and renewable capacity installation?
So very easy. So I think we have nothing done, and we not plan to make anything in this environment. That's it. So we've been moving for investment on the range of 1 billion or 1 billion something per annum to a range of almost 100 million, just which is mostly maintenance.
Next is, can you provide an update on your asset rotation strategy on the renewables front?
Can you
Number 19, 19.
Can you provide an update?
Asset rotation strategy, renewables.
Well, I think I mentioned already, I think is we are already with several projects in this moment ongoing. I think we just reached an agreement with with Norges. We had already last year we make an agreement with Los Seguros Mapfre, and we have already some another one which are ongoing. So I think that is going on. That is for renewable, but I think we have already for transmission. I mentioned in Brazil, I think we are in the last stage already for closing a deal with somebody for making a joint venture for transmission. And we have already recently made another one in offshore Germany with GIP, EIP. So I think we are already just in continuous basis. I think that's going well, and that is something which is going to we are going to make already even earlier than expected.
Next is, could you update us about the possibility of the divestment of a stake in portfolio of renewables assets in the U.S.? So the sale of a stake in the U.S., are you perceiving any pressure on transaction multiples resulting from the higher rate environment?
Well, we are already seeing always all the, you know, we analyze always all our possibilities, our assets. I think that is one of possibilities. So we are looking that one, and I don't know what is going to be the decision, but that is a possibility of selling a stake of our renewables in United States. Yeah.
And last question is, could you update us on any intention of non-organic growth in Brazil?
So you refer of the of some of the things which are now in the market. The answer is, and we have not any plan to go ahead with this this opportunity which has is Coelce, no? So we have not any interest in Coelce, so I think that is very clear. So in another one, I think we are very much concentrated in Brazil with our organic growth. We have already integrated, fully integrated Brasilia, and we have a lot of work to do already with our transmission business, and we have a lot to do already with our network business with the new rate cases, which is already foreseen a huge investment required. So I think that is our vision in this moment. No any interest in any new things which are already today on the table.
Okay, now before I give the floor to Mr. Galán to conclude this event, I missed to introduce you Gerardo Codes, head of our legal services, which has been with us in previous result presentation. So now, yes, Mr. Chairman, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much for taking part in this conference. Let me remind, as always, that our investor relations team will be available for any further information you may require. Thank you, and see you soon. Thank you.